Chapter 5, Birds of Paradise. We did not speak to each other for a long time after our argument over the orcas. Ned and I both thought we were right, and Conseil didn't say anything because he didn't want to take sides. Why was I being so stubborn? Was my work more important to me than my friends? The Nautilus sailed south past the Philippines and through the islands of Indonesia, until it reached the dangerous shores of the Coral Sea, on the northeast coast of Australia. We passed the reef where Captain Cook, the explorer, had lost his ship on the 11th of June, 1770. Shoals of brightly coloured fish swam alongside the Nautilus. There were giltheads, dories, and flying fish. The flying fish were like submarine swallows, diving in and out of the waves. And on dark nights they lit up the air and water with their glowing scales. 2 days after crossing the Coral Sea, we spotted the coast of Papua New Guinea. Nemo planned to get into the Indian Ocean through the Straits of Torres. The Straits of Torres were full of islands and rocks, and it was almost impossible to make our way safely through them. "This is a bad sea," Ned said to Nemo as the Nautilus plunged through the waves. Suddenly, the Nautilus shuddered and came to a halt, leaning to one side. We had run aground. "Are we stranded?" I asked Nemo anxiously. "Yes, but only until the tide turns and lifts us off," Nemo said. "It's nothing to worry about." Ned looked out at a nearby island, spotting a chance to step onto dry land. "I see you're looking at the island of Gilboa, Mr. Land," Nemo said. "Perhaps you'd like to go ashore." "That's right. I was thinking of stealing your small boat and sailing it away," Ned joked. "No need to steal it," Nemo said. "You're free to use it if you wish. Why don't the three of you go and explore? The tide won't turn for another 12 hours. The Nautilus can't sail until then." We all looked at Nemo with surprise. "It's not the mainland," Nemo explained, "so you can't run away anywhere." We didn't argue and happily borrowed the small boat to sail ashore. It was a great chance for me to make more scientific notes and for Ned to get away from our steel prison. But best of all, it was a great chance for us to make friends again. The three of us chatted excitedly on the small boat as though we had never fallen out. The island was covered in enormous trees, many tens of meters tall, mingled with swaying palms, white orchids, and green ferns. "If the island has plenty of food and fresh water, I vote we stay here until another ship passes by and rescues us," Ned said. "But what if Nemo and his men follow us ashore?" Conseil said. "Stop it," I said. "This island is full of plants and animals that I haven't seen before. I'm going to record my findings before I do anything else." "Fine, Professor," Ned said. "We'll see what the island has to offer first before we make any plans." Ned and Conseil looked for food while I looked for wildlife. They collected fruit and coconuts. Ned split open a coconut and we drank the milk. It was sweet and cool and delicious, and Ned promised to make a pie out of the fruit. We were all glad to have a change from seafood after a couple of months on board the Nautilus. I saw kingfishers, parrots and cockatoos of all colours, and in a clearing I saw several birds with long, brilliantly coloured feathers swooping around in graceful circles. "Birds of paradise," I cried, "and so beautiful." A herd of kangaroos sprang out of the bushes, and Ned hopped along with them, holding his hands to his chest like kangaroo paws. Conseil and I laughed so much we scared the birds away. As the sun went down, we built a fire, and Ned made the fruit pie he had promised us. It was delicious. We sat back and relaxed in the firelight. "So, Professor," Ned said, "what do you think now? Should we take our chances and stay?" "It's large enough to find a hiding place," Conseil said. "Nemo would never find us." I felt a sharp pain of misery. I wanted to go back to the Nautilus, but I didn't know how to tell my friends. There were so many more things I wanted to see that only the Nautilus could show me. Ned and Conseil were looking at me with hope in their eyes. How could I ask them to give up their chance of escape, just so that I could find out more about the science of the oceans? But before I could give them an answer, a stone flew through the air and hit our fire, spraying sparks everywhere. "Stones don't just fall from the sky," Conseil said. He was right. Someone had thrown the stone. Suddenly the faces of several Papuan men were lit up by the fire's glow. They threw more stones at us and shouted angrily. We were uninvited guests in their home, and they were not going to let us stay. "Quick," I yelled. "Back to the boat." We leapt to our feet and ran. The Papuans chased us. They were armed with bows and arrows, and wore nets around their necks full of stones which they threw at us. We reached the boat and shoved off, splashing into the waves. Papuans yelled with rage and followed us into the water. Scrambling on board, we grabbed the oars and rowed for our lives and grabbed my knife, but my fingers were like jelly, and I couldn't get the knife out of my belt. But Ned, his harpoon in his hand, rushed towards the shark and struck it a deadly blow. After a few seconds, it went limp and lifeless. Ned helped the captain to his feet. Then Nemo went to the diver, took him in his arms, and swam to the surface. The diver opened his eyes and stared in fear as Nemo laid him in his canoe. "He'll live," Nemo said calmly, then gave Ned a cold smile. "Thank you, Master Land," he said, "for saving my life." "You saved me from drowning." "Now we're even," Ned replied. "I don't owe you anything anymore." All this took only a few minutes, but it taught me a lot. I now knew that Nemo was a man of great courage. He wouldn't think twice about risking his life. He was ready to die for a man he didn't even know. But it gave me no more clues about his history. Why had he decided to live outside the law? Why did he hate the outside world so much? "I should have let him end up in the jaws of a shark," Ned said later. "Then his crew would have let us go." "No, they wouldn't," I said angrily. "They would have blamed us for his death and killed us for sure." "You saved him because you're not ruled by hatred, Ned," Conseil said. "You should be glad that you're not like Nemo. He's letting his hatred of the world destroy him." "But Nemo saved the diver," I told them, "so he can't be as bad as you two think." But what did I really think? Was I under his spell? Or did I just want to know all the secrets of the sea that Nemo promised to show me? Why had he attacked our ship? Maybe he was a murderer. Or was he a victim of a terrible injustice? Chapter 7. Trapped. The Nautilus sailed from the Indian Ocean into the Southern Ocean, and our underwater landscape changed quickly. Icebergs drifted by the window, shining ghostly white. Was Nemo mad enough to be heading for the South Pole? Many ships had sunk attempting to reach the pole. For several weeks, my friends and I had argued about Nemo. "But one thing is sure," I said. "Nemo is an amazing man, and he knows more about the sea than anyone in the world." "He's clever, all right," Ned agreed. "But he's also as cold as the icebergs we're sailing past." The following morning at 3 o'clock, the Nautilus rocked violently, and I was thrown from my bed. "Have we had an accident?" I asked Nemo. "Yes," he answered shortly. "An iceberg has turned over and fallen on us." "Has it done any damage?" I asked. "It has trapped us," Nemo said. "It struck the Nautilus as it fell, and then it floated back up and pinned us under a sheet of ice." Ned and Conseil, also shaken from their beds, joined us in the saloon. "We are floating in a box of ice," Nemo said.